Hello, hello, hello. Hey, it's your girl Mila Kay, and you know what it is, episode 3, Confessions of a Trap Yogi. So let's get it cracking. Yo, grab your tea or your Hennessy. Sit back, listen to some dope beats. My name is Mila. Welcome to Confessions of a Trap Yogi. I confess, I love music. I confess, I love love. I confess, I have moments that I doubt myself. I confess, life as a yogi is dope as hell. Yes, episode 3. This is your trap yogi in charge, Mila Kay. For those of you who are just now joining me on Confessions of a Trap Yogi, welcome. If you haven't heard episodes 1 and 2, go ahead back and check it out. You can find me on social media at KelsaYogi, KelsaYogi, and that's on Instagram and Facebook. If you are interested in coming to any of my classes or workshops that I'm teaching, you can find out more on my website, www.milakmarshall.com. And no matter where you are, if you're interested in joining my listserv, go ahead to that same website and put your email in and I'll add you. And this newsletter for January has already gone out. And the newsletter is just something very simple from the heart. It includes monthly affirmations. It includes a few tips and just wellness tips, sometimes about yoga, about a particular pose. If you got January's, the monthly affirmation is at the bottom on the first page. And it is, I have all inside of me to fulfill my deepest desires, and I trust that all that comes to me this month is an opportunity to practice that trust. So each month we have a affirmation that we all work with together, and the rest of the newsletter is how to be a happier new you, less drama, more yama, tells you a little bit about the podcast, and ooh, it also has some hot sip tips. I stopped drinking coffee last year and I love tea. So there's a few blends for congestion, for libido, anxiety and depression, restlessness or indigestion. So the newsletter really is just an offering from me to you. Sometimes people don't want to, you know, come to class or don't really understand what I teach as a yoga professional and a person that instructs meditation. So it's just a way for me to stay in contact with everybody and have my fingers out there, my feelers, so that I can send some love to people no matter where they are, especially if you're outside of Chicago. So a little bit about what's going on with me before we jump into things. I have had a full January already. It has been one very trying month. But also, when I think back to the affirmation, like, I pretty much spoke it into existence, and I'm, you know, choosing to move through trusting myself and acknowledging that I have this wish to grow and to be the woman, the mother, the professional, the human being that I am meant to be, and that takes practice. So with that hard time that I've been having this month, I have some people that I definitely want to say thank you to. So my girlfriend, Shay, thank you so very much for being a rock for me this month. LaDonna and Mia, you two have been an invaluable resource to me, and the love in your friendship is something that I can't say thank you enough for. To my homeboy, Oscar, and my best friend, Megan, the godparents of my children, I don't know where I would be without you all. My mom, thank you so very much for offering yourself to me and just being there for me no matter what. To my homeboy, Jeffrey, you are so special to me. I am able to call you any time of the day and you listen to me and you kind of help me realize all of who I am. My girlfriend, Tiffany, and my girlfriend, Courtney, my girlfriend, Erin, you know, I just have a list of people that I have to thank just for being there for me this month. It's been really hard, so I have to put that out there in the universe. I love each of you very, very much. To my baby sister, Riss, for coming into town and giving me a big hug. You have just been a dream come true in this nightmarish kind of life in these past few days. I am deeply, deeply, deeply appreciative for my yoga community, Chi-Town Shakti, all the instructors there. Asha, I love you so very much from the bottom of my heart. So those are my thanks. And I hope you catch the feels for, you know, just being grateful for those people in your life that step up and hold you down when, you know, either hold you down when you feel like you're about to float away, or lift you up when you feel like you can't move a muscle. Friendships and family friendships are so important in life just to remind us of who we are. So thank you to those people. We're going to do something a little different for this podcast. I have some elements that I wanted to bring in. And I know we live in a world of, you know, thinking about being a follower as a negative, but I wanted to turn that on its head and get you lifted with some people that I've been following. And I want you to consider checking them out on Instagram. So the first one is Young Pueblo, YUNG_Pueblo, PUEBLO. I have been following him for over a year now. And his posts are very simple. They are almost spiritual. It really, really reminds me of the poetry of Rumi. If you check him out, you'll see what I'm talking about if you are a Rumi lover. Very simplistic and reflective. I really enjoy all of the reminders that he gives for inviting me to move inward and think about myself, less about like people in front of me, but really working on me. And his posts are just lovely. Sometimes they're poetry and sometimes it's just a little nugget or just a little insight. And they seem to pop up on my phone just, you know, at the right time. So that's somebody I've been following. And for, you know, my ladies out here who are struggling and dealing with body image, Rashida Convey. I don't know if you've heard of her. If you haven't, you have now. This is a woman that you definitely, you know, if I don't even know how to put it into words, I'm clutching my chest right now. Like my hand is to my heart because watching her transform lives with her ministry is phenomenal. She's an intimacy coach and author. She actually has a national tour going on right now. If you use the hashtag #ReclaimingYourSexy, you should be able to find her. So a lot of body and soul in her posts. A lot of healing wounds. You know, as women, we go through a lot from the moment we're born to the present day of living in a feminine body. Often we forget about the power of our own sexuality and sensuality, and not to serve other people. You know, it is a part of who we are. We are sexual beings, but there are times in our lives that poke holes in us, and it seems as though with those holes, we can't hold on to love, and we can't hold on to forgiveness, and we can't hold on to compassion for ourselves. It just leaks out. It leaks out of us for us, but it seems like we can extend it to other people. And then we have these body issues. We don't like our faces, our skin, our blemishes and scars disturb us. People have said things about our bodies. We've had babies. We have stretch marks. You know, our breasts aren't how they were when we were 16. We breastfed and we have tattoos that don't look like they look. We are angry at a life in a body that has served us. We're angry at our bodies that have birthed life. We're angry at our bodies that have been hurt by other people, by their words, by their actions. We hold on to shame from, you know, what we've chosen for ourselves, whether that's how we nourish ourselves with food or the toxic love that we are addicted to and we can't seem to get away from. I have found a lot of my own reclamation of my sexuality, even just in following her. So I am hoping to get to one of her workshops when she's here in Chicago. So definitely follow her, Rashida Khan Bey. And last but not least, one of the most amazing, phenomenal organizations in Chicago, kind of keeping in line with this inward focus and reclaiming your sexy and just being educated. This is an organization. This is the Meow University. It has its home here in Chicago. It is a sex education organization. And no, it's not all about fellatio, even though that is a really great class. It is not all about the physical act of sex. It is an intimacy organization. So if it's like, oh, there's a event coming up, Girls Night Out, definitely follow them. Their ticket's still on sale. I will be there. I'm also teaching a sex flex workshop for the Meow University. That workshop is going to be for women only. It is fusing yoga and meditation for learning how to live in the present moment, learning how to reclaim your peace in your body, take full accountability for how you feel and how you offer yourself to your partner or partners, because there is no judgment. One time for the polyamorous community and those that have plural relationships, ethical, non-monogamous, plural relationships. So that is the Meow University. You can find them on Instagram as well. So those are the people that I'm following. And if you are somebody who's interested, I suggest that you go follow them too. So with all of that, how you doing? How are you doing out there in listener land? I wanted to get into what we're talking about today. And I came up with this over the last couple of months because it's just been kind of like swimming around in my head and my heart, and wanted to really bring it up to you all, family. And I want to ask you, how many of your emotions are yours, and how many are actually triggered responses? So I'll repeat that. How many of your emotions that you experience are your actual emotions? And how many are triggered responses? So we're talking about being trigger happy today. Being trigger happy is, you know, something that helps us and hurts us depending on the context of it. So yeah, you're ready to react, but you're also living on high alert. You respond in a volatile or harsh way at the least amount of provocation. You may act extremely rash without consideration, and you may have a tendency to get ahead of yourself. So I'm no different. You know, I've assumed things incorrectly and correctly in my life. But there is a huge difference between like your bias and your discernment. Your bias is a prejudice. It's a judgment and it's value based. And your discernment, the latter, is your ability to distinguish between something or another. Now, jumping the gun as a reaction, like, is a real thing. If you've ever heard, you know, a fight or flight response, this is useful in a crisis. Like, this can actually keep you safe. But what if there's no crisis? If there's no crisis, then how is it that you control that fight or flight response so you can react appropriately, so you can react without jumping the gun? And how do you slow your response down so that you can discern the amount of energy or attention that you choose to give away or choose to give to a situation? So this is all about choices. I feel like, wasn't there a song, Everybody Got Choices? Who is that? Is that, Sprinkle Me, man. E-40. I think E-40, Everybody Got Choices. That's who I was thinking about. So, indeed, our emotional responses are real. They're extremely real. But are our emotional responses triggered and ignited by things that are not real? Things that are misunderstandings, things that are imagined, things that are assumed. So how do you have an effectively sensitive trigger? And when I say effectively sensitive, I mean that it's not triggered by anything. It's triggered by what it's supposed to be triggered by. So are you easily annoyed? Does anything and everything set you off? Are you easily irritated, angered, frustrated, frightened, or stressed? And if you are, I want you to consider, what would life feel like if you were easily triggered to compassion? If you were fast at forgiveness? If you were moved to love deeper at the drop of a hat? What's interesting is that it seems like there's energy to be easily triggered sometimes for particular energy and emotions. So what we would call negative emotions. So to be angry and frustrated and upset. And then for other emotions, it has to be a lot put into us, right? So anything can piss you off, but it takes something very, very special and particular to make you smile. Anything and every, it could be somebody dipping off in traffic pisses you off, or cutting you off in traffic pisses you off. Somebody stepping on your shoe or not saying thank you gives you the same feeling of being enraged. But in order for you to feel happy, you have to have A through Z requirements met for happiness to even exist. Wanting to be intentional with preserving that negative energy is a practice. What I've done in my own life is I've kind of flipped what I previously said on its head. So I am easily triggered for all of the light emotions in life. Because why the fuck not? If I can be happy and fulfilled and satisfied and just joyful at the simple things, at the little things. The little things are everywhere, y'all. The little things are hot water. The little things are scented soap that reminds me of cookies that my grandmother used to make. The little things are the fact that I have 5 cashmere scarves that I can match with any outfit. The little things are being able to tell the difference between a green apple and a pink lady apple, like discerning sweetness. The little things are hearing my children laugh, even though they're laughing too loud. They're laughing. The little things are I have fresh water to drink and the same fresh water to flush down my toilet. The little things are, you know, I have mirrors all around my house to show me my full body or just my face. Like, there's so many little things, like the sunlight that comes in and doesn't hit me on my face, but comes to the side of my room. So it lights up the room slowly and it doesn't burn my eyes out in the morning. You feel me? I could keep going, y'all. I used to talk about all the things that pissed me off. I don't even have a list for that because that's not where my focus is. But when you live a life with sensitive triggers, sensitive negative triggers, your life is a landscape of hidden landmines. It's just landmines everywhere. Not only that, But we expect others to avoid those landmines and avoid triggering us, like they have some sort of map. They have a map and they have like a pathway to avoid igniting our short fuses, or even like we assume that they have the ingenuity of like of an explorer, right? Like they're living happily being curious about where not to step. And those are the people that we love. Not only that, but we have to avoid their triggers. That's a lot of energy when there's triggers everywhere that are sensitive to anything. We live in a society of like quickly handling folks, like shutting them down. Like I need to shut him down. Like I need to, I wish a motherfucker would, you know, like it's, we're on high alert all the time. But I wonder how often have we or do we actually overreact? But when we do that, we have a reason. We have often an excuse of why it is that our overreaction was warranted. However, when we receive the rash judgment, we claim that it is unfair. The other person's excuse is not accepted. There's all of these ways for us to get away with hurting people, hurting ourselves, but other people are held to a higher standard. And I'm no different. The question is, how do you live in a place of being aware that you're triggered, intentionally take control of that, and what do you do about it? So before I get to that, I do have a question for you to reflect on. And that's, do you care to fine-tune your triggers? Do you care? And fine-tuning isn't about like letting things go and letting things roll off your back and acting like things don't hurt and acting like things don't affect you. That's not what fine-tuning your triggers means. In this context and how I am presenting it, it's referring to having a level of awareness and choice about how you spend your emotional energy. It is choosing how you spend your emotional energy. It is not disregarding your emotional response. It's choosing how you spend it and how you apply it. For me, if I'm mad, I am legit mad. And my practice is to be mad at the right thing, at the right person, for the right reason, with the right level of intensity. I know that was a lot, but I'll give you a couple of examples. So about two examples. So the first example is being triggered to be angry. Oh, no. This is being triggered to feeling disrespected and angry. So let's say you have a significant other, a partner, a boo, a situationship, I don't know, you're plus one, and you've communicated with your partner, this person, to contact you, call you, text you when they are free. You specifically use the words, call me when you are free. Other person says, cool, okay, I agree, whatever. Well, an hour goes by, they don't call. You know that your partner, this person, gets off work at 3:30, and that was an hour ago. So you know that their time is free. Not only that, but you do a little sleuthing. You go on the Instagram page and they post it twice. So apparently their thumbs are working and their thumbs are free. Their attention is free. And they are available to post online. It's been 2 hours now and they have not contacted you back. You begin to assume that this person is
having conversations with other people. You then assume that other people means other people in a romantic way. You begin to assume that they are having conversations that are not honorable. You begin to get upset that this person is playing games with you and lying to you. You begin to assume that they frequently disrespect you by ignoring you and not prioritizing you. You just made all of those assumptions based on nothing, based on what you wanted. The trigger in this instance was you not getting what you wanted when you wanted from somebody. I have often been triggered to feel a range of emotions because somebody didn't do what I thought they should be doing when I thought they should be doing it to favor me. I did not pause to think. I gave this person the total freedom and flexibility to call me when they are free. Their definition of free. I didn't ask them to call me in an hour. I did not ask them to call me when they got off work. I did not ask them to contact me in 30 minutes. I asked them to hit me up when they are free. By definition, that's whenever the hell they choose then. I see that they are online. Now I am fueling my own fire. Now I'm setting off other, you feel me? I'm lighting other fuses. Now I'm triggered to feel lied to and triggered to feel like I'm not valuable. Triggered to feel like I'm not a priority. I've just made all this shit up in my head. But I feel it. I feel it in my body. Now I can't eat. I can't rest. I'm upset. You know, I can't enjoy my shorty's basketball game because I'm steadily looking at my phone, mad that somebody's not contacting me, making up a story that is not true. Self-triggered. Example two. Triggered to have an attitude, and this one pulls other people in it. So imagine you receive an email that from your boss, your new boss. You haven't really had too many interactions with this person, but for the most part, they seem pretty cool. But as you read the email, you read it in its entirety, but you take it as a personal attack. You don't like the tone of the email. And how many of us have been there where we read it and we're like, that don't sound right. Or I know they not saying this. I know that this not what they implying, or I don't understand. We've all done it. And as you take that email as a personal attack, what's the first thing that you do? You pick up your phone. You call your people, you call your friends, you call your girlfriends, you call your cousin, and you begin to complain and read into and judge, call the, you know, boss names and bring up other related stories of how people have disrespected you via email and how you set them straight and what you gonna do tomorrow and how should you respond. You didn't pull five people into this. Now they talking about it and their bosses and people who sent them curt emails and who they put in check. You have made a shit sandwich and just offered it to all of your friends. And they happily take it because people love shit sandwiches. So not only have you pulled people in it, but it's on your mind. It's on your mind. You're thinking about it. You keep going back to the email. You keep reading into it, trying to decipher what it means. And you continuously affirm that this is some bullshit. This, that bull. So you have a very restless night. You can't really sleep. You wake up in the morning and you're grumpy. You're easily agitated. Your kids get on your last nerve even before your first nerve is already awake. You're not as loving to your partner and you don't give them hugs and kisses because you're in a mood from last night. And rightfully so in your mind, because somebody then got you fucked up. And then you ride to work irritated and agitated, cursing people out on the street, giving other people shit sandwiches because this boss got you fucked up. And you get into work and your new boss comes to you all smiles. Good morning. You know, hey, I realized after I sent that message, it was kind of short. I usually, you know, I didn't have a lot of time. I just wanted to make sure I got it to you before a reasonable time in the evening to respect, your time with your family. So if it was a little short, I apologize for that. And there you are, standing there with an entire evening sacrificed, with your kids unkissed, with your partner half-hearted hugged, with people called out of their names because you were agitated that you assumed and read into an email that somebody didn't intend to sit with you a certain way, but it did, and that doesn't take away the sting. But you gave up a lot, triggered by your imagination and reading into and your bias. Just as I said earlier, we're so easily triggered to believe the worst. Sometimes we are right. That fight or flight, that bias versus discernment practice is legitimately useful. But in the moments where there isn't a crisis, do we have inside of us a toolkit to access ways of discerning how to shelve shit, how to press pause, how to calm down? How about this? I'm not reading into shit. I'm going to ask directly. I'm not going to infer or waste any of my time trying to figure shit out. I am not a decoder and I do not decipher. I seek clarity and truth. So what will that require? I'm going to wait until I see my boss in the morning and find out really what was the intent. Why not just wait? I want to enjoy my evening. I want to enjoy my morning. I love driving to work, being able to see the lake. I'm not letting anybody take that from me based off of an assumption. So why do it? And it's funny, if somebody's thinking, well, 9 times out of 10, you know, it's a situation that. But I wonder if you step away, can you use that same philosophy of the 9 times out of the 10 times that you assumed, how many times were you correct and overreacted even, right? So you don't have to be incorrect to overreact. Still could have, you could be correct in your interpretation of what's in front of you or the threat or the intention, but you still have no control over how you react with your emotions or your energy. That's really what we're talking about. So then how do you live in truth and wisely spend your emotional energy? So we're going to kind of switch to being able to tell the difference between when shit is real and authentic versus when it's imagined and made up and misunderstood. So number one, it's really important to acknowledge your sensitivities and where they come from. And often our, you know, outer responses are reflections of how we really feel about ourselves. Number two, how do you wisely spend your emotional energy? You also have to notice if you have physical responses to particular words or maybe other people's body positions or facial expressions. Do you clench your fists? Does your heart start beating really fast? Do you kind of get flush in the face? Do you clench your jaws? If you're doing any of those actions, you are in a moment. You are in a mood. So my advice would be to take a breath and slow down your breath and relax your body. When you slow your breath, your body immediately begins to respond by calming down itself. And the mind begins to slow down as well. If you notice, if you're not in a situation that is life-threatening, I am not at all saying, like, calmly get your ass beat. That's not it. I'm saying when you're having a difficult conversation and somebody uses language that offends you, often our anger is righteous, right? Like, our frustration is real. However, if you allow for your emotions to be triggered, you may not be capable of checking somebody in a way that they need to be checked, if that makes any sense. You lose the ability to communicate clearly. You lose the ability to get your point across. You lose your ability to stay in a place of using that anger on purpose and with intention. So allow yourself to give the response or level of emotional energy that you choose. Not that just kind of like jumps up like a little, like, you know, remember whack-a-mole? I feel like that's how emotions are. You'll hear a whole sentence, you're triggered to be angry, then frustrated, then afraid, then, you know, like, it's nonstop. So how is it that you harness that and say, all right, well, yeah, I still have these feelings. Like, I'm feeling some kind of way about it, but you know what? I'm not going to let my feelings dictate how it is that I communicate if I'm not being threatened, being physically threatened. Now, that's not to say that raising your voice isn't a part of it. That's not to say, you know, swearing is not, you know, isn't a part of it. I'm saying choosing your level of engagement while completely holding on to the reality and awareness of your full emotions. The last one, practice listening to your heart. I know that sounds so cheesy, but there is a big difference between bias and discernment. And when we live a life of like just judging shit and judging people and having like a very particular way in which we're not offended, like it, when people smack their lips like that bothers me. That means this. We have defined and ascribed value to other people, and they are not a part of this game. They do not know what offends us. We have these sensitivities, some of them cultural, some of them based on our ages, some of them, you know, based on, you know, where we live. Like, we just have these rules of engagement, but then we have these personal rules of engagement. You have to really go inward and ask yourself, how biased and judgmental and sensitive are you? Don't nobody know all of that? I mean, half the time we don't even know all of our triggers, right? Or we have excuses for them. So when you desire to live in complete understanding, trust me, you'll have shit coming at you left and right, trying to knock you off your block. If you're looking to practice controlling your emotional energy and being much more intentional, I promise you, life is going to offer you many opportunities to practice. So get ready. So this listening, this ability to know when you're being biased versus having a practice of discernment comes with being mindful, practicing mindfulness, and comes with meditation, wanting to hear the truth, wanting to see the truth for what it is, wanting to understand in context, wanting to feel and get the true meaning and intention sometimes without words. Some of us can hear a comment and feel the intention and not be offended because there's something else there. Other people that that something else goes deeper. Like it's a heart connection. Sometimes people don't have the words to tell you how you want to be told, y'all. That doesn't mean that they're trying to hurt. That doesn't mean that they're not trying hard enough. Sometimes we have to feel deeper, listen deeper for what's really there. That takes energy. So you're taking the easily triggered negative energy and turning that around and using that to feel deeper when people communicate. Or build the courage to ask direct questions and then be able to discern whether people are fucking lying or not. That's one of the easiest ways. Like instead of interpreting or like from your perspective, I don't want to go from my perspective. My perspective has nothing to do with your intention. I want to know the real. Not only that, if you're sending me off, I want to have a filter in my heart that allows for me to filter the bullshit. So while you talking about, oh, I ain't mean it like that, and I'm feeling like, yeah, you did. You know, like I trust my heart. But I only trust it when I am that filter that I just said is clear and clean. And that comes with practice. Being able to hear the truth and live in it and see it and feel it, it's a challenging process and practice, but it is not impossible. And no doubt, please don't get it twisted, it is not being passive. It's not being passive at all. It is being protective. It's being protective over your peace, and it's being intentional with your power of self-control and awareness, okay? So it's my hope that, you know, after listening to this, and if you need to, go back and listen to it again. Reflect on some of the questions that I offered you, and maybe even think about those examples that I gave you, and like, when is the last time you read into something and kind of blew it up to be heavy, and then ask other people to help you hold this heavy shit, and then turns out wasn't nothing in it. Do you go back and tell people, like, girl, I'm so sorry, I called you and it wasn't even that? Like, how many times do you even fess up to, like, ooh, I blew that out of proportion? And the other thing before we go, when you share shit like that, you've invited people to a very painful party. You picked up the phone and asked for your love warriors to join you in a battle that does not exist. You don't know how that has changed their evening. You don't know how your sensitive trigger then becomes a intentional trigger for whatever it is they're going through in their evening. So sometimes, you know, when we say hate spreads like wildfire, that's one example of how anxiety and fear just kind of ignite and they pop up. Sometimes people hold the flame to other people's fuses. So, you know, this podcast, while inspired by, you know, being trigger happy, shout out to Crucial Conflict I had to show some love to the West Side. I love you. All my family out in Austin. Love you, love you, love you. Love you even with them big ass belt buckles and huge watches that y'all be wearing. And I want to leave you, you know, with our hip hop affirmation, our hip hop quotable from none other than the, you know, queen lyricist, in my opinion, Bahamadia. These are words that I've been living by. Delete and jumble diction, I rips it in repetition. I'm gonna say that again. Delete and jumble diction, I rips it in repetition. That is your affirmation for this podcast. Take that, remix it, live it. Love your life, love your family, love every single breath. Thanks for rocking out with me, Confessions of the Trap Yogi. I'm your host, Lila K. Peace out. Got it, him. Man, man.
office, the microphone mechanism from inner city curriculum to cut a net for heads like circumcisions and your mental zone, I'm sliding.